Okay, we're going to read once again from Ephesians chapter 1. We read it this morning and just noted that the purpose of human life was to be the image and likeness of God, that is, to show forth His glory in a way that the creature could see and understand. But I want to take a look at this again for a few moments, and I trust there might be something for you in it. Verse 3 of Ephesians 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so he's speaking, writing to the believers at Ephesus, and he's doing so in such a way as to express his heart of worship for God. Blessed be the God. What do we have to bless God with? What do we have that we didn't get from him? And I think for me, some versions translate that word blessed as praise, I think it is. And either way, we're giving back to God, and Paul is giving back to God what he has given by way of worship. And I think worship, sometimes we can degenerate into a formality. Sometimes we can make it into a technique, something reserved for just any old time. But if we are truly living for the glory of God, then every moment is an opportunity of worship. Isn't that so? And is God not worthy of such worship? I think he is. One of the things that jumped out to me from this passage, I haven't been able to spend a lot of time in it, but one of the things that jumped out to me is the greatness of God. Now, I think everybody in this room would say, amen, God is great. And we might have different ideas of his greatness, and some might have a greater idea of his greatness than others, whatever. But this time in reading it through, the greatness of God has struck me almost to being dumbfounded. Well, we know he created the heavens and the earth, and nothing exists without him. But listen to this. Who has blessed us? Well, that's the only reason we can bless him, is because he's blessed us. And we return thanks and praise and love and adoration to him. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Do you know that, what that means? I must say I don't. Every day, every week, every new situation brings us into a greater appreciation of the reality of the greatness of our God. And sometimes, because we live in a modern society and we're accustomed to all the arguments and the contrasts and whatever, I find personally it's too easy for me to begin to think of God as, well, you know, he's the only eternal one. He's great. He created the heavens and the earth. That's great. But sin has entered. And now we have a God who loves the believer and hates the sinner and honors and rewards what's done for him and punishes what isn't. And that's not what God's like at all. God created the world, we saw this morning. And you remember what he said? He looked at his creature and he said, it's very good. The whole of the creation, very good. Now, granted, that was before sin entered. But is sin more powerful than God? I don't think so. In fact, I know it's not, because Paul says, of sinners, I'm the chief. And that's scripture, so I'll agree with that. Otherwise, I'd say of sinners, I was chief. And I'm a believer now for quite a number of years. And you know what? There are still times when I have to fall on my face and say, oh, Lord, you know, I've sinned. Forgive me. And he tells us to do that, doesn't he? Sin is not greater than God. The earth was the created very good, and did that change? Did sin curse and change the earth? No. It was God who cursed the earth for man's sake. It was the next step of human experience. And God is good, and everything he does is good. And Paul lifts up his voice, blessed be this God. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. There's not a spiritual blessing that he has not blessed us with as believers, his children in Christ. And again, who knows how many and how great those blessings are. We're still learning every day, aren't we? And we're anticipating a day that's coming. And we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I wonder what that day is going to be like, you know? But he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus, having accomplished our salvation, returned to his Father's presence. And where was that? High above all the heavens. And he sat down at the right hand of God, the Majesty on high. And all of that for you and for me, again, It for me anyway, it beggars my attempt to say something about it. But this is a fantastic description of our great God and Savior, isn't it? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Are we enjoying his blessings? Well, you know, my wife's had the worst year of her life this year. Thank God for the remission and Thank God for his people who prayed and all. This is wonderful. But I don't think that we would have considered this a blessing, at least not at the worst of it. But he says we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. There's not a blessing that God can give that he hasn't already given us in Christ. And we meet here as believers in the Lord, don't we? We like to talk about our faith and our experiences. We like to talk about the Word of God. We like to tell others why their church is wrong because they don't do what we do as right, and so on. And there are things laid down in Scripture, aren't they? I think one of the most wretched results in our age is the division, the multitude of division amongst God's people in churches. That's just a reality. That's a fact. So how can he say that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies? I'd like to suggest that the answer is because it's in the heavenlies in Christ. On this earth, in these physical bodies, with our daily temptations, we have no reason to fail. We have no reason to sin. But we do, don't we? Anybody here as a believer want to put their hand up and say, I've never sinned as a believer? How about anybody want to put their hand up and say, I haven't sinned this past week? We don't have to. I don't have to, but I'm no better than anybody else at it. But in the heavenlies in Christ, absolute perfection. All the abundance of the blessings of God. And if we walk in the Spirit as he is in the Spirit, how's that go? My mind's just gone blank. But there'd be no unrighteousness involved in that. Sorry, the quote just left me. But we don't need to sin. But thank God, he knows us. And he's the one that has blessed us. It's not we who bless him in the sense of adding anything to him. Our response to him is a response of worship, of praise and thanksgiving and adoration. And so it goes on to say, in Christ. Not in the heavenlies, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And then I'll be a remarkable saint there. It's all in Christ, isn't it? And then he goes on to say, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. Well, again, this morning we read that, some excerpts from the creation of the earth and all that's in it. But before he ever created a man, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, don't worry, I'm not wanting to get into some argumental thing here. But I like to tell people, I know who he chose. You know who he chose? Whosoever believes in Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I get in trouble with both sides of that, but satisfies me perfectly, and I'll leave that with you. But one thing is sure, he chose us in Christ, in him, before the foundation of the world. And notice that in him, the words in Christ, in him, in the beloved, in himself, and in whom, 10 times in 14 verses, he's emphasizing through these verses, you read it yourself, he's emphasizing us as being in Christ. We emphasize, and rightly so, we emphasize Christ in us. But a lot of people will call that in question, especially when we don't live according to it. But Christ is only in us because God has chosen us in him. And where am I? Chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Another way of saying that is that we should be saints. That's what a saint is, a holy person. Any saints in the room? Oh, come on. I know there are. We're saints in Christ. Do we live holy lives? Well, if we walk in the Spirit, if we live lives of worship, if we live the Christ life, you remember what that was like? He came to do his Father's will. If we live to do the Father's will, then there's something of this holiness that will show through. The lost and dying world could say the same words that Christians raised up to eternal life can say, but they can never say them with the same meaning. And he has made us saints, holy. And therefore it goes on to say, and without blame. Well, I've already confessed to you that I have more occasions than I would like to admit where I've had to come to the Lord and say, oh, forgive me, Lord, I've done it again, you know. But he's always there, faithful and just to forgive us. You see, he deals with us in Christ, and there's not a sin in Christ. There's not an imperfection in Christ. There's not a lack in him. What a Savior. What a life we have. But we learn it one day at a time. Anyway, I'm making excuses for myself in saying that about learning it one day at a time. You know, all I have to do is walk by faith, live the name of Christ, live to do the Father's will, and there could be nothing possible to hinder that. But the old flesh rises up. But the flesh isn't in the heavenlies. The flesh is here on this earth. Isn't that so? And so it's still true, blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, chosen in him, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We can present ourselves to one another without blame. We're probably no more blameworthy than our brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know? But without blame before him. What a Savior we have. What a salvation we have. And then it says, in love. In love. We can read these things and come up with the idea, okay, from now on, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm not going to do this any longer, and I'm going to do this, and everything will be wonderful. And I'm a good Christian because I don't smoke, drink, dance, drive a car on Sundays, you know? Foolishness, isn't it? Well, the Christian life does involve obedience, but it's a life of worship. And it's a life of love. I don't know if we mentioned that this morning, but God created us in his own image and likeness. And what's God like? Well, God is love. And in Christ, we see that love. Christ is the man who showed forth all the glory of God, all the wonder of God. And how did he do that? Well, first of all, by loving the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and so doing his Father's will at every point. And to me, the most amazing, I don't know if we had it earlier this morning or not, it ends up going to the cross. You think of Gethsemane and, oh, Father, if there's any other way, it would be better. But only if it's your will. And it was his Father's will, and so he went to the cross. And you know all the horrific details of the suffering on the cross, and despised and rejected by his own people and by the rest of the world, the Gentiles, the non-believers of the day, and all that rejection and hatred shown by tearing them apart physically, mentally, spiritually, as they would understand it, emotionally, mocked, ridiculed, despised, rejected. And he lifts his voice and says, Father, forgive them. Well, wonderful, but I think if I were in his place, I know if I were in his place, I wouldn't say, Father, forgive them. And you remember what the other thieves said. The Father's answer was to lay our sins upon him, and himself bore our sins in his own body on that cross. And he laid down his life. Why? It was his Father's will. He was glorifying his Father in human terms. He was worshiping his Father. He was honoring his Father. He was loving his Father. And in doing that, he was loving us. Well, yeah, because we're Christians. No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It blows you away, doesn't it? It does me anyway, in love. And then verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, he doesn't say, having preached the gospel to them and those ones and twos that would believe and receive, they satisfy this. That's not what he says at all. He predestined it, not just to be saved from our sin. And that's something that I have to remember. It's easy to talk about sin and the salvation of sin, but what is that salvation? We become sons, don't we? Born of God. The life that we have received is the life of his son, the Lord Jesus. He only has one son in that sense, but in Christ, here we are. And how he loves his son. Well, I dare to think I'm one of his sons. I know you guys are. He loves us. As his own son, and so has adopted us as sons to himself, and notice, according to the good pleasure of his will. Wow, it's just multiplies layer upon layer of the goodness of God, the all-embracing reality that this earth and this universe and everything on this earth and in the universe are his, and he is good, and he is love, and he made it for good, and he will have good out of it. And so, in Christ, we become worshipers. Blessed be God. Praise be unto him. Why? Oh, because he has blessed us in Christ. It's a little humbling, isn't it, to call ourselves God's children when the Lord Jesus is his son. And so he brings this out, this whole paragraph, the first 16 verses of Ephesians here. It's all about God and what God is doing and how he has done it. And the details just build and mount on one another until it becomes a mountain of glorious truth and reality and for me, anyway, I got to stop and say, oh, how can I get my head around that? And meanwhile, he shouts out, no, get your heart around it. Get your heart around it. You know, the head will follow. But all this according to the good pleasure of his will. And every time he looks at his son, he's well pleased. Isn't that something? Well, he looks at us in his son because he's the one who has blessed us with the spiritual blessings, has predestined us unto this, and so on and so on and so on. And then when you come to verse 6, this to the praise of his glory. I tried to talk a little bit about that this morning. And I think Paul, when he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, I think that's, in the context, the best description of glorifying God. in this context. And praise of his glory, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And once again, in Christ. Now, I don't know if I talked about this or not, but and my mind just flipped out on me. Chose us, or blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, and he delineates some of those, but it's in the heavenlies. But once again, our feet are here on this planet Earth. Our hearts, our spirits alive in Christ, are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and his spirit living within us to lead and to guide and to so on. But the blessings are all there in Christ. He does not say he's blessed us with every ease and convenience here on this earth. That's not so. And in fact, he promises some things that we probably would rather not receive on this earth. But it's all a part of his scheme for our growth and maturity and development and so on. And so you go through this passage, and there are more verses, but I get long-winded, and let me read a couple more, okay? Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness, his blood is his life of the flesh in the blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us all in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. In Christ we can know his will according to his good pleasure. When we know his will and do his will, we bring pleasure to him. And his good pleasure is which he has purposed in himself. He didn't say, look, there's Jack Baker. I know, I'll give this gift to him or something. No, it says, blessed in, which he purposed in himself. And in verse 10, that in the dispensation and fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven in him. Okay, I'm sure you've read the passage, and I'm sure none of this is any particular different, but it's just, it jumped out and hit me in the head. And I wanted to go through that, because how great is our God? That's the point of this. How great is our God? Well, if you're suffering with cancer and other terrible issues come into your life, and there's nothing but pain and agony, can we take up these words? Can we still sing his praises? Can we believe that our great God and Savior is blessing us with every spiritual blessing? There doesn't seem to be anything pleasant about that. But he's not talking about physical enjoyment. He's not talking about physical comfort. He's not talking about material success, all the things of this world. You may be the richest man in the world. Guess what? This whole world is going to crumble. You might be the most popular person in all the world. Well, guess what? Everybody that looks up to you and adores you, they're going to die and be gone. And then who's going to look at you? You know? You might be the most athletically skilled person in all the world. It's not me. I'm a klutz. But you're going to get old, and then you won't be able to do those things. You know? Virtually every carnal aspect of our life is part of that dying. And so he exhorts us to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And if you want to know what it looks like to walk in the Spirit, look at the Lord Jesus as man on this earth. I don't know anyone, never have met a person that suffered as he, that suffered rejection as he. Even those who should have fallen at his feet and poured out their heart of love and thanksgiving and flat out rejected him, still he loved us. What a God. Who created the heavens and earth? God did. Were they good? Yep, they sure were. Did he curse the earth because of sin? Yes, he did. But God is good. He did that for good purposes too. Is there coming a day when these bodies will be changed for spiritual bodies? Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But in the meantime, we have every reason to live lives of worship, praise, thanksgiving, lives of love to the Lord our God and Savior. And if we live lives of love to him, then we will be able to keep the second commandment, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. And again, I say, how are we doing? I'll leave that to you to answer. I got enough to answer for my own self, you know. Just going through this has reestablished in my heart the greatness of our God and Savior. And when life is falling apart, he's no less great. And when it looks like not a soul cares, man, we still have that love of God that laid down the only pure life for us. We have every reason to live lives of faith, trust, love, and enjoyment. And every time I start to repeat myself, it's a sure thing that I better stop talking. So appreciate your having me, and appreciate your patience in listening to me. But my heart's desire is that you would hear something from the Lord. Not my ideas or opinions, but something from the Lord. Everything about him is good. I think I'm starting up again. Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence. We stand in awe and wonder. We would join the Apostle Paul and say, blessed be our God and Savior. We owe everything to you. And we know that it's your privilege to pour them out. We know, perhaps some of us anyway, the time in our life where we thought that we were able to ridicule you and overcome you and despise you, and perhaps some even feared what the result of that would be. But we are reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his own son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We understand of judgment, both spiritual for the believer and judgment of damnation for the lost. But none of this comes from a hand of an unjust, unloving, unrighteous God. Every bit of it is just and pure and righteous and loving and desirable, and all the other words that we could think to add together. May it be, in your grace and mercy, may it be that you would take something of these fumbling words and speak to all of us, each of us, at least one of us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.